Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, it's Carly. Hi everyone, it's Carly Daytime After Dark. Tonight we have okay, you guys. You know why I started this radio show? I love interviewing guests. I love interviewing daytime, anything ever on the universe, right? People, well, tonight I'm kind of making my dream come true in a very selfish way because we will be interviewing Keith Gordon. He's been in, hold on.
Hello?
Keith, I can use the cell number. 1347. Okay, perfect. Okay, everyone, like I said, tonight is a really good night for Daytime After Dark because we will be having a very handsome, really, really cute Keith Gordon. He's been on all my favorite movies with throughout the years. Adventures in Babysitting, Don't Tell the Mother, The Babysitter Dead. He was on Little House on the Prairie, which I just finally figured it out the other day. And he's been on so many good movies. So let's welcome Keith.
Hello. Well, hello. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Yep, I can hear you great.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Oh, my God. Thank you. No, like I was saying in the intro, I watched Little House on the Prairie, even though, you know, it's been off for like, I don't know, 20, 30 years. And one day I was just watching it on the Make the Joy for No Noise episode, and I kept looking at Timothy. And for about 25 minutes, I'm like, why do I know him? I know him. I don't know why I know him. I just know him. And it was driving me nuts for about 2 days. And I finally broke down and went online. I'm like, he was in Little House, too. Oh, that makes sense now. So how was that? I mean, how was, even though it was a long time ago, how was the Little House on the Prairie job for you?
It was so fun. There was a little western town in the back lot that we shot a lot of it at. That was where the school for the blind children were. It was the first time I had to play blind, so that was kind of a challenge. I was just thrilled to be on Little House. I think I'd auditioned for other episodes, but this is the first one that I got on. And, I had a fun little role. Note, I did not do my own singing in that. They did dub in my voice. Yes, another young actor did the singing, and I just lip-synced to it on the day.
Oh, my gosh, because I really, oh, my God, they made it believable. I really thought it was you singing. they made that so believable. It was, you know, really good. And that show was incredible. But, that's what one of the questions I was going to ask. Yeah, it must have been really hard playing blind, even though, so basically what I wonder if I was playing blind, just close my eyes and hope I don't fall and kill myself by falling down. But you were amazing playing that, and your character Timothy had a really great connection with the character Joe Kagan, and I love you and Hester Sue, and I love you and Mary. It was just an incredible so glad you were on. I loved every moment of it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate hearing that. I love it when people spot me on that. And I had used a different name for the first 10 years on television that I did. So Keith Mitchell, I was credited on The Little House. And I had grown up with the youngest twins, Lindsay and Sydney Greenbush. I knew them, Rachel and Robin Bush. They played the Carrie and in Trip Down the Hill. It was another great 70s, you know, TV show that I got to be a part of. I think I did my episode in the 80s, but I'm glad you love it.
Well, yeah, and do you still keep in touch with them by any fans or no? Like anyone from The Little House?
Occasionally, I do. Yeah, sure, I see cast members from it. I did just recently see Melissa Gilbert. And I do see Rachel Bush from time to time as well. And of course, Nellie Olson.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, any of those, Keith, if you want to pass around my name, I would love to, like, have a Little House night or whatever. I could do that. That could be an awesome show night. And then, you know, you doing Little House was a very good career move for, you know, in my opinion, because it was really a good way. But, you know, it was incredible back then. But you are in my world's greatest movie, like the best movie. Well, two movies. I went to every Friday night, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and Invincible and Baby Scene so much that my dad had to go keep buying the tape, two tapes. Like, yeah. He goes, you know, I did, you know, I still need to go buy another, like a DVD one. But I loved Invincible and Baby Scene now. You and Elizabeth Sue was so incredible. Yes, I wanted Brad to be able to fall in love with, you know, Elizabeth Sue's character. I'm like, stop it. He likes you. He has a crush on you. Forget about the other guy. But, you know, no one listened to me on that. How was that whole experience?
Well, the whole experience was amazing. I've been trying desperately to get into movies for several years. I'd auditioned for a lot of great parts. Nothing really quite stuck in this. You know, I was so happy to play Brad, and you know, I thank Chris Columbus for putting me in the film. I love watching it with audiences. It's the 30th anniversary this year of the babysitting, and you know, I invite those in the Bay Area, San Francisco, April 1st. We'll be having a 30th anniversary screening and Q&A, just me, and the film at the Castro Theater in San Francisco as part of the San Francisco Sketch Fest. So if you're listening now and you're in the Bay Area, look up the San Francisco Sketch Fest and go get tickets now for a screening. We'll do a matinee screening on April 1st, Saturday, a week from tomorrow. And it's, you know, it's fun. I love that it's endured and it keeps playing on cable, and I love hearing that people have worn out their copies of the VHS. That's just really sweet. You know, I had a great adventure doing it, and you know, made great friends with the cast and crew, and you know, it was just a wonderful, wonderful project to work on.
And do you like keep in touch with Elizabeth at all from you know, now or no? Or did you guys touch?
We just went golfing yesterday, and no, I haven't talked to Lisa Hsu in some years. I think she's in New York.
Don't it? Well, no, that movie, so in the movie Adventures in Babysitting, there was a scene in Chicago where my best friend lives, Chicago, awesome little state city. How was it with, okay, when you guys were singing to get, you know, in that club and you got away from the bad guys, was that your voice then, or did they dub you guys for that one?
We recorded it on a Sunday in Chicago, and then filmed at Fitzgerald's bar, which is where they shot Color Money. It's a great location in Chicago, on Monday and Tuesday. So we shot for 2 days, had about 3 cameras rolling most of the time to cover it, and just kept doing it over and over and over again. The director's wife, Monica, had done the choreography for us, little shoop shoop de doops. And it was just so fun. It was fun to kind of, you know, live it out over and over and over again. And we were hoping that it would be one of the memorable scenes from the movie, the, you know, L train, the gang scene attack on the L train. We were hoping that the Babysitting Blues would stand out. I'm just upset that there was never a soundtrack. There was never a soundtrack.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, you say that because oh yes, I can have those songs in my head for like a week straight after watching the movie. I'm like, okay. You've been singing this all week long, but no, you are correct with the knife scene. On Adventure and BBC, when Brad decides to, you know, be helpful with the gang, and then, you know, you kind of get a knife in your toe. So, okay, did the knife really go in you, or did you have to act like the knife went in you?
Well, they would never throw a knife at me, but we did have the idea to start with the knife in the foot and pull it out with a fishing line, monofilament, and pull the knife out and then run the film backwards.
That is a great way to do it. I would never thought about that. Ooh, that was, you know, a really great way to do that. I would never, you know, think of doing that. And also when, you know, you guys were, you know, going to go pick up, you know, from the train station in the whole night. So were you guys really driving the whole time like it looked like? Or were you guys like on the down scenes?
You know, all of the above, I'd say about 80 to 90% of it was really driving around, being towed by another car, having cameras strapped onto the hood of the car and out the windows, and just driving and driving. And we're hooked up with microphones. And sometimes Chris Columbus would be in the back of the station wagon laying down in the far back so that he could still direct with the scenes with us. Then there was other times where we did would do a poor man's process, and we'd be kind of in a soundstage, and we'd have a lot of black duvetine and some lights kind of recreate that we were inside of a car. Some of the scenes in Pruitt's tow truck, where all 5 of us are in the cab tow truck, were shot all 3 ways. We shot them outside, we shot them inside, we shot them in a couple of cities too. We'd move around and we'd keep working on scenes as they'd either rewrite or they didn't think that, you know, for whatever reason they had reshot it. I just remember being in that car forever.
Oh. That, you know, that, you know, would, oh my God, that would be driving me crazy if I was in a car forever. That, you know, but, you know, that movie made it really believable. And, I mean, it was just, I think that is one movie that, to this day, is like a quote, cult classic, because everyone, I haven't ever met anyone that hasn't seen that movie, and if I ever do meet someone that hasn't seen the movie, they're going to get yelled at, because it's like a movie everyone should see, because I'm going to finally be able to watch it with my nieces and nephews pretty soon. Because I talk about the movie all the time, so I waited until they got a little older, then, you know, I'm going to be doing that. And then so Creole had been like a really great Creole, and you know, you went from invented the baby thing to don't tell the mom the baby's dead. That movie was hilarious. Because your character in that movie was so different from Brad Anderson from Events of the Baby Sane, and I loved it. And I just love the Smiths. Oh, these kids sort of killed their baby. So, I mean, not really, but, you know, how was that, and how was looking with Christina Applegate?
That was so fun. I call that one Summer Camp for Adults. we shot it a very hot summer of 1990 here in Los Angeles, mostly up in Canyon Country in Valencia. Very just hot desert. It was so great to work with Christina Applegate. She's, you know, a comedic genius, such a great professional. I really love Don't Tell Mom the Baby's Dead because it didn't, you know, it's about kids, but it doesn't talk down to them at all. You know, I think that it has, you know, an honest kind of voice. You know, it's still fun. It is a broader comedy than Adventures of Babysitting. It's silly. I think it's good, silly fun, but it's got a good redemptive message. I mean, the premise of it was, what if, you know, the parents leave town? All these movies, they have parents leaving town, or, you know, kids going on adventures, like Goonies or Gremlins. But this one, what would happen if the kids actually got their stuff together? And, you know, everything was nicer when the house was nicer, and, you know, and so that, you know, it was fun to, I mean, there were times when not every single movie had the biggest star. And it was also kind of new to have TV stars cross over and do films to hang that on. And I think that Christina Applegate, she did a remarkable job as the lead, carrying the picture, as did Elizabeth Shue. Just, it was great to be the nerd that wanted the babysitter in one, and then the brother that could really give a damn.
I love that.
Come in the end.
No, because, yeah, Kenny did, but toward the end, it was like they kind of redeemed Kenny in a way to make him, you know, clean up a little more. And, you know, my favorite ending of the movie is, you know, how the house was so nice and the swimming pool. And that's how, you know, kids would be like, okay, Mom and Dad are gone for a while. Okay, let's have a party, but, you know, with that, I mean, you know, Christina Applegate had to go to work and sort of steal the petty cats, but I thought it was a good reason because it wasn't like she was going shopping. She was making sure her brothers and sisters would eat. And I thought that, you know, was a really good, you know, premise. And like Adventures in Babysitting, that one, it's a timeless, you know, movie for, you know, 80s and 90s kids. Even today in 2000, you know, it's still holding the test of time.
Oh, that's great to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, and so I know you were in Cousins. How was that?
Yeah, it was remarkable. Joel Schumacher directing, and I just loved the cast. It was kind of like a little family gathering. We shot up in Vancouver for several months. It was beautiful. Ted Danson, Isabella Rossellini, Sean Young, William Peterson, Lloyd Bridges played the grandfather. I had so much fun doing all the Lloyd Bridges scenes. It was just a relaxed, you know, beautiful movie to work on. And I think they released it on Valentine's Day in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I celebrated. It's one of my favorites to have worked on.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it just, I mean, that movie was just, you know, like fun and everything. And, I mean, you've been, you know, you've been in so many good movies. And when you were in Toy Soldiers, that was amazing that you were in that. Because why I remember Toy Soldiers so specifically was I was in like 8th or 9th grade, and there was this, we were out of school because the school, you know, the teachers were on strike. And living on Mercer Island, Washington, you had nothing to do for 4 weeks. So my best friend's dad took us to the movie like almost every day, and we went to go see Toy Soldiers, and that was like awesome movie, awesome cast. So, you know, and I mean, you know, still to this day, you know, it's like Sean Ernst, you know, Will Wheaton, every really awesome guy back then was in that movie. How was that?
I felt lucky to be a part of Toy Soldiers. I thought it was so cool. And it is a pretty hardcore action movie. Very proud to be a part of it. And, you know, safety is always first in making something like this, but I had to go stick around and see some explosions and helicopters and things that were going on for shooting it. It got, crazier and crazier as we were shooting. We kind of shot it in order, in sequence mostly, and it got, you know, towards the end there'd be gunfire, you know, with blanks and explosions going off and all the blood packs and the makeup, and I just loved it. I mean, it was a nice, solid R-rated, you know, 90s action movie, and, you know, kind of, I was proud that it was, you know, yes, it was kids, it was definitely teenagers, and made for a young market, but it was a very adult, you know, regular old action movie. The director had written Beverly Hills Cop and Turner and Hooch and The Big Easy, and he just is, this is his first time directing, and he knocked it out of the park. I call it Dead Poets Society meets Die Hard.
Oh, that, yeah. I never thought of it, but yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, it, you know, the Toy Soldiers was awesome. So, did you keep in touch with the guides from it? Or, you know, because it's so hard to lose touch after a movie, but.
I love both Sean Astin and Will Wheaton dearly, and also kept in touch with George Perez. I've got to find out where T.E. Russell, I think Sean has been keeping in touch with him. I see Sean and Will from time to time. And, you know, Will, I've worked with Will 3 times now. And I did a Tales from the Crypt with him and a big snake movie called Python. And then Sean, I've known Sean for years. His father started the Addams Family with my grandfather, Jackie. And, so our families are their families, and we've known each other for quite a long time. So it was really fun to do Toy Soldiers with, you know, friends. And
yeah, I mean, it was like, for you, it was probably, oh, I'm going to do this movie, but I can't hang out with my friends all day. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and if whenever you see the guides again, please tell Will and Sean, I would love to interview both of them, because you guys, the three of you, growing up, you know, I mean, I saw so many Will Wheaton movies, so many Sean movies, and you, I mean, the three guys, you know, you guys, you know, all three of you combined have been in so many movies, you know, throughout time. So I just, you know, I thought it was a, you know, a really, really good, you know, movie and the best action movie. I really fell in love with it. So 2008, you were working in Texas on a short film. What was that like?
The Keith Coogan Experience. This was for Media Arts Institute in Dallas. It was originally going to be the Matthew Modine project, but they couldn't get in touch with Matthew Modine. So they reached out to me, I believe, via Twitter or MySpace or Facebook, one of those things, maybe even MySpace, believe it or not, that was going on back then. And I said, yes, you know, if they were union and, you know, it's a student film. And so I flew out and did it and just had a really good time. We did 22 setups in about 4.5 hours.
Wow.
Really fun. Those guys know what they're doing. Hopefully they're all working hard in the industry now. I know some of them have actually moved out to LA to make their way. And that was a fun experience. It started a trend of me playing not myself really, but playing a character named Keith Coogan, if that makes any sense at all.
I think that is awesome. That basis of it. And yeah, back then, yeah, I forgot about MySpace because really, like, you know, Twitter came along and, you know, I kind of forgot about MySpace. You know, besides all your wonderful movies, you also was in Morgan and the Agents, Eight Is Enough, and Growing Pains, and Silver Spoon, and Fame, and Sips. How was the Growing Pains and the Silver Spoons, you know, because those were kind of comedies. And then, like, Eight Is Enough was, I would call it kind of family drama. But then Night Rider, well, it was all action. So how was all those projects?
The comedies are the ones that were shot in front of a live audience. Those are the Silver Spoons, Growing Pains, Just the Ten of Us, Mork and Mindy, and Leverett and Shirley. Those made me very nervous to do. For some reason, it just really it kind of threw me. I was, you know, working on a set, but having the whole audience there was very nerve-wracking. But they were great. You know, I watched all these shows. So, you know, once again, like some of the earlier stuff, The Love Boat and Fantasy Island and Knight Rider, by the time I was, you know, 15 and 16 and getting on these are shows that I watched and loved. And all of them. I mean, all of the TV that I got through, Chips was fantastic. I wound up doing 4 episodes of Chips, including the very last episode of Chips that they ever had, which was coincidentally directed by John Astin. Fame as well, doing, and I had Fame with Malcolm Jamal Warner pre Cosby Show days. I was just, you know, super fun to leave your school, go onto these sets. And, you know, and work on these shows. It's, you know, I mean, I had the best time doing it.
Well, yeah, and it's just almost like you know, you love those shows and, you know, you got to be, you know, really a part of, you know, some really good family dramas, comedies. And so what are you doing now? What acting projects or what are you working on now?
I have a great TV show that I can't publicize yet until they release some more information. I also signed a non-disclosure agreement for a film coming out. More will be revealed later, but 2 great jobs. And I just learned Adventures in Babysitting will be honored in a TV show coming up here soon. I'll share the details of that on Twitter as I can also. It's frustrating to have done some really fun stuff recently and not being able to talk about them. But I'm very excited about it. Once again, it shows that I love and watch, and as well as writing and directing and working on, you know, my own projects. It is, it's one of the very lucky to be here in, LA and to be working in the industry at all and to, do it for years and years and years. I just, I can't wait till what's next and other great people I get to work with. I just love it.
Well, when you do other projects, you have to come back and let us know because, yes, Carly wants to know. And Carly, it's great that you have, other projects down the pike. And I get it because I have, interviewed so many daytime actors that I know when you sign a non-disclosure and you can't talk about it yet, when you really want to but you can't. I get that. It's frustrating.
They're finished. I'm just waiting for them to come out so I can start promoting them and celebrating, some of the stories that they're telling. I'm stoked. And, keep auditioning for other great shows. Hopefully I'm trying to work on a lot of the really fun cable shows. There's so many great things going on in cable. And if I could get on the World or, try to get on the Goldbergs or, there's so many great shows on there right now that I'd love an opportunity to get on those.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you would do good on NCIS, LA, any of the Chicago shows, Law and Order SUV. Oh, yeah, you could play a crazy one on SUV. That would be
perfect.
Awesome. Stuff like that. And, what I love about the cable setup is, like with primetime, like on ABC, CBS, you have to record it that moment or you have to wait for a rerun. But with, TV shows on cable, you get to, record it like more than once in a night, but you won't miss your other primetime shows. So that is really good. And before I start taking calls, okay, why isn't your refrigerator right now?
Say that again.
What is in your refrigerator? Like, what is in your refrigerator right this moment?
What's in my refrigerator right this moment?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. Steaks and ribs and I think I'm going to make fettuccine Alfredo tonight. Why do you ask?
I threw one you. Kristen and I always ask the guests, the fans know that what's in their little refrigerator. I found that almost a dinner party game, and I've seen it on Entertainment Tonight and stuff. So I would take it and page from their book.
I see. Okay.
Yes. And what is on your DVR right now?
On the DVR is far too many episodes of shows that we have to catch up with. I know Blacklist Redemption. We've been watching The Arrangement and The Imposters and The Catch. We love The Catch. There's so many great shows on right now. Without the DVR, we'd totally be sunk. Did you know, and I just learned this just now, that they do count ratings for shows that have been TiVo'd or DVR'd, but only within the first week of airing. So if you watch it for a week that it's on, it doesn't count towards their ratings. I didn't know that.
Well, Keith, I found a loophole for it because I find loopholes in everything because I wanted to be a lawyer, but I didn't want to do 8 years in school. I found the loophole. What you do and you just fast forward it or watch a little bit. Fast forward, it counted the rating, and then when you have like a time to go back and sit and watch it, then the ratings count. So that's like a little loophole I figured out, you know, on my own, because I, you know, I have a TiVo box, and like I always tell people, if I had a TiVo box when I was in high school, maybe I would have gone to class. But no, I had to go home and watch Days of a Life in General Hospital and Y&R. So, yeah, that's why I think TiVo and DVR should have been there 20 years ago. Because, don't get me wrong, I love my VCR, but the timer never worked and the tape would run out after 6 or 8 hours. So I would be watching something and then it would cut off, and yeah, I would get really upset at it. But yeah, I knew. Yeah, I just found out about that ratings thing a couple of months ago. And I was talking to someone and they gave me that idea, like, why don't you just fast forward, make the ratings count for the day, watch a little of it, put it back on your DVR, and you can watch it when you have time. So, you know, that, you know, that is incredible. And we are going to take a couple of calls. So, 954, David, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Keith. How you doing?
Well, hello. Doing very well. Thank you. How are you? This is David.
Yes. I want to say I'm a big Little House fan. I watched it from the beginning, from a little kid to the end. I'm a big Little House fan, and
thanks.
I think you were great in episode where you were playing blind. You were great.
Thank you.
It's one of my favorite episodes. I watched over and over again. It's one of my favorite episodes. I want to know what it was like to work with Michael Landon. What was it like?
Oh, amazing. We actually shot, I've worked on some other things too that shot, he'd built studios. He'd built some studios up in Santa Rita. I'm not sure if he directed my episode or not. I'd have to check.
Yeah,
but,
I think he did.
You know, as producer of the show, and you know, he's just a great guy. They named a baseball park in Malibu after him. They have the Michael Landon Recreation Center. I mean, you know, he just stood up. It was a great show. It was amazing and a leader, and everybody looked up to him. And you know, he's a great, great father figure for everybody.
Yeah. I like his shows. I'm a big fan of his. Yeah. And can you tell us about your grandfather, Jackie Coogan? What was he like? Something that we'd be surprised to know about him.
Guess what's that?
Can you tell us something about your grandfather, Jackie Coogan, who played Uncle Fester? He does something like about him that we surprised to know.
Yes, well, Jack was, you know, a young child actor discovered by Chaplin, and lost his fortune to his mom and a business manager. Has the Coogan Act named after him, protects 15% of child's earnings. And then years later, he had a great comeback with the Addams Family and Uncle Fester. There's actually, I've found there's pictures online of other, of all the actors that auditioned for Uncle Fester. Those are great to look at, everyone in the makeup. And so proud of him and, you know, the Coogan Act and Coogan Law. Would love to see it pushed into more states. Right now, we have a Coogan Accounts or Coogan Act in about 5 states.
Yeah,
love to see
yeah.
50 states so that kids are protected everywhere that they work. I love my grandfather, and he's a big influence, you know, on me growing up, to be, you know, be a professional in this, do your job, and steal every scene that you're in.
Yeah. He was great. He was funny. Do you ever did set when you were a little kid? Do you ever did set? And for me.
Yes. Oh, I got to go to the set for the Addams Family reunion. I don't think that it was a Halloween special. I don't think that Jack ever got to visit me on a set, but we did get to do a 2020 episode together, and There's some great interviews. There's an interview online that's got my mom and my grandfather in it. Very sweet footage.
Yeah. I was going to ask a question. You worked on Walton. What was that like working on Walton?
Oh, Walton's was amazing. That was, you know, a year. I think I did about 18 episodes in season 8. They brought on me and my sister, Serena, played by Martha Nix. We were just terrors on the mountain. Tore it up. Dug the flower bed, killed the dog, and burned the barn, and just got caught lying, cheating, and stealing, and smoking, and just being brats.
I'm bad. Yeah.
And it was so fun to do. I don't think there was anything redemptive about little Jeffrey Burton on the Waltons. I watched some reruns recently, and I would have smacked that little child.
I'm not talking to you because I'm a fan of the Little House, especially the episode. So thank you. Thanks for my question.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling, Dave. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Okay, David, I'm going to put you on hold. 415, you're on there. 415? 415, you're on there.
Is that
hello?
Me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yep, you're on there with us.
Well, hello. Hi, Keith. Hi, Carly. My name is Stacy.
Hi.
My question
hi.
Is... Hi. Keith, you sang at the 1989 Oscars in the Stars of Tomorrow number, which is on YouTube now. Any good behind-the-scenes stories from the Oscar broadcast? And do you think that this year's Oscar, Moonlight, La La Land fiasco, has finally overshadowed the 89 Oscars for Awkward Moment?
Yes, thank you. You crawled right into my head on that one. And, you know, really that's what La La Land gets. Because after all, La La Land is a movie about, in the end, you finally get all of your dreams come true and then have it snatched away at the last minute. So that's what La La Land gets. The Oscars was so fun to do. You know, most of the stories, I think, come in rehearsing for it for several weeks before the show, making friends with, you know, Ricky Lake and getting to work with great people like Christian Slater, Corey Feldman, an old friend, of course. Kenny Ortega choreographed it. There was, I think, 19 of us or 20 of us, young Hollywood stars. Not one of us has won an Oscar.
I looked it up. But Fabian Glover did win a Tony.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh.
And, you know, thankfully we had the Snow White debacle that year. So there was just two musical numbers that whole year, and it was Snow White and then The Young Hollywood. So, we, you know, thankfully we're under the radar. There was a pirated copy online on YouTube, but now the Academy went ahead and posted the whole awful number that we were in. I mean, it does everything from ballet to tap to, you know, show tunes. And it was great. It was such an honor. I was doing press for Cousins, and because I have a dancing scene with Lloyd Bridges, they showed the clip or whatever the morning I was doing, like, an AM Los Angeles thing, and lo and behold, Kenny Ortega's assistant, they were watching. They said, oh, he can dance, get him on the young actor thingy. And what was so fun about that is a lot of us were progeny of, you know, old Hollywood. Tyrone Powers Jr. and Tracy Christine Nelson, Trisha Lee Fisher. You know, it was
and
fun
Chad
to
Lowe.
Have, like, a bunch of, yep, and Chad Lowe and Carol Burnett's daughter, who's no longer with us. It was an interesting bunch of just rebels, because all of us, we did not behave at all. We completely pranked. It was just, we, you know, wasted tons of time. We had a blast doing it. And I think you could see that we had fun working together. I don't know, what an adventure, because we were like, we're probably never going to go to the Oscars again, right? So let's enjoy this.
I'm friends with the actress who was Snow White, so she was the one who posted on Facebook and said, you know, finally, now my, this year.
Yeah, that was now this year's La La Land definitely shone that, but now if they ever do, like, lists of, like, the top 5 or top 10, you know, worst moments at Oscars, the Snow White will make it. They're not, they're just ignoring young Hollywood for now, and I want to keep it that way.
Try not to bring it to the attention of.
Yeah, no, exactly. Let's lay low. Don't, we'll get the Barbara Streisand effect if we say anything about it. So we'll just let the dog by.
Kind of hard with YouTube.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
I will.
Okay.
I'll let someone else ask a question, and I will see you at the Castro Theater on April 1st.
Well, see you at the Castro Theater April 1st. That's awesome. Cool.
Okay, and say hi to Pinky.
Okay, I will.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna have a final crowd at the Castro.
Yeah. 777, you're on the air.
Keith Coogan, can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you clearly. Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm the person known as Alvin George. It's not my real name. It meant, by the way, like, I remember seeing, like Adventures in Babysitting for the first time, like, I think in June of 1988 when I was eight years old. My dad rented it on VHS, so, like, and I remember, yes, I remember stuff about, you know, the subway stuff and you know, the relatively little girl who was interested in, like, foreign stuff, the comic books, like, and I seem to remember an interview about the movie where Elizabeth Shue was interviewed about, like, I know the movie was at least partially shot in the Toronto, Ontario, Canada area, like, and I think I brought, like, something about street cleaners, like, did you have any experience with, like, street cleaners in Toronto, Canada, or not?
You know, this I can't tell if urban legend or not. I've seen it show up on other movies that are shot in Toronto. I have the same story of leaving set dressing around garbage and newspapers so it looks like a U.S. city, and then going to lunch. We come back from lunch, and it's just cleaned up. The Department of Sanitation cleaned it up. So that rumor, yes, I know that that's attached to Adventures of Babysitting. I can't tell if it's a planted memory or not for me now. It's very possible. Toronto is incredibly clean. We shot 2 months in Toronto and then 2 or 3 weeks in Chicago and then another week in L.A. for some special effects. But most of the, I think in Toronto we were on, is it Young and Bloor, something like that? Stayed near the Eaton Center. We did all the rehearsals in Toronto. Shot the heck, especially because then came to Chicago for the expressway and Blues Bar, bus station downtown, etc.
You can still hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It was, Elizabeth Shue was a cutie pie back in the 80s. Like, did you see any of her CSI episodes that she did? Like, I mean, she looked ripped during that period. You know, like, muscular and stuff, like, buffed, you know.
I loved her in Hamlet, too. That was the best Elizabeth Shue.
What movie would you say that you saw her in? You liked her in?
In Hamlet, like, Hamlet 2 with Steve Coogan. She plays Elizabeth Shue, who's now a nurse at the hospital. Very funny.
Are you related to Steve Coogan in any way or not?
Don't know. Pinky and I saw him at a Q&A event last year, maybe the year before. And we got a picture with him, but we forgot to ask him if he was in relation to Jackie Coogan or knew about that. It's kind of a rare surname. It's not Coogan.
You still there?
Yeah, we got the phone call to take low, buddy. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank
you. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Hey, Bobby.
Hello?
Hey, Bobby.
Hey. Hey, guys.
Yep. Do you have a question for Keith?
Yeah, I just want to just say, do you ever get a chance to meet Jennifer Landon, who is Michael Landon's daughter, with Days of Our Lives now, when she was a little baby, or you never got a chance to meet her?
Oh, I don't remember.
Hi, it was a long time ago, Bobby.
Yeah. No, no.
Yeah.
My little brother was born in 81.
Right.
So I remember being part, you know, my little brother would be part of parents groups and stuff like that and in the Malibu area and community. So we probably saw him more around Malibu than, you know, but I'm sure she had, you know, been on set or been around.
Right, right. And Jennifer, like I said, is a great actress, and now it's on Days of Our Lives. But my real thing is, do you still keep in touch with Christina Applegate? Because I will tell you the truth, like every other teenage man growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, since it would have to be one of my crushes back then. Back then because of the success of Married with Children and then eventually Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter Dead.
Yeah.
But do you still keep in touch with Christina?
I do not. I haven't talked to her in years. I'm happy to hear that she's recently learned about the fact that people are still celebrating Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I had listened to a podcast that she was surprised. She's like, wow, she had no idea. But it'd been popular. And so hopefully she'll celebrate one of the upcoming anniversaries that we have. We just last year was the 25th anniversary of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. And I think it's a great. I think it's so funny,
right.
And I think she's so hysterical in it. And,
right, right.
Because
I think we saw the adult version of Christina versus what we saw on TV with her as Kelly Bundy back then. We saw the adult version to what we've seen now with Christina and what we saw in the Anchorman movies and other projects that she had done in recent years. So it was just a pleasure to. I think for you to work with such a talented woman like her, but my next question is: do you still keep in touch with Elizabeth Shue? Because I know Elizabeth been out of the acting spotlight for quite a while. I don't know if she's done any projects or not,
I think she's living in New York. I was married to David Guggenheim, who directed Waiting for Superman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's all that I have. And if by any chance if you reunite with Christina or Elizabeth, just tell her that there's a fan that says hi and really enjoyed their work growing up.
Okay, perfect. I'm gonna put you on hold for a second, Bob.
Okay.
Hey, Maggie, you're on the air with us.
Hey. Hi, how's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Good. You sound good. And I'm so happy you're on
God,
the show.
No. Oh, no,
hey,
my God, he dropped.
I'm sorry.
What?
My fault. Hello?
No, Bobby, it's fine. Hold on.
Okay, I think you forgot to mute me and you accidentally muted him or something.
No, no, he dropped, Bobby.
Oh, okay.
No, look up.
Hold on. Hold on, people. Okay. He's back. Okay. Hey, what happened?
Oh, we lost you guys there for a second.
Oh, that happened. Yeah, Maggie, what is you, question for Keith?
Yes, I thank you very much for being on tonight. And I know you guys, it's hard work when you play movies or acting for TV. They never give actors credit for the work they put in. But we fans sure do appreciate it.
No, thanks. It's not that hard of work. It's changed a lot. It used to be a lot of standing around. And now they've changed it to where they've got multiple cameras. It's digital. They don't have to reload or light. You kind of work hard all day. It's not digging ditches. I like to say it's a hard way to make an easy living.
Very, okay. So we need it. We need it very, very much. And I just want to say hi to you and thank you. And you're appreciated. And especially like these movies, Babysitter's Dead, and you remember them. And they're part of you. And I'm so happy you got to do the show tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I really thought for a minute you were blind. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you really were blind when you were in Little House at that time.
That's great to hear. Very hard to keep your eyes open and stare off just missing somebody and pretend like you're only hearing them, but you have to act with your eyes open. And I found that was really. I catch myself a few times cheating. I'll pick a spot to kind of stare at, but I did a lot of stuff like that, a lot of crime scenes. I could kind of fake it good enough for TV, the way that TV is kind of quick scheduled, and you get one or two, but you got to move on. And in the Little House, I kind of had to cry and scream and hit stuff, and a lot of my characters. Most of them all ended in like a Y sound: Timmy, Bobby, Jimmy, Ricky, Stevie. They'll add one into a name that's not even appropriate. And most of them had like lawsuit movies and battered, spouse abuse movies and stuff. It was a lot of like drama and melodrama as a kid, and couldn't get arrested in comedy, but then started to do. Laverne and Shirley was my first comedy, and booked a few after that. But I still really like the hour long kind of dramas on TV. And family. I've always been supportive of Disney from my first Fox and the Hound to the Cheetah, Adventures in Babysitting, other projects on different more the adult brand Hollywood Pictures. I did now. I love Disney, and hopefully we'll always work for Disney.
I hope so.
Any of you see the remake or the redo of Adventures of Babysitting that they released for the Disney Channel?
Really?
Disney original movie, a whole new story, and an updated version of Adventures of Babysitting.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yep, rated
we love that.
The whole family can enjoy it. There's no swear words like we had in Adventures of Babysitting.
No. No. But still, I mean, it gives the audience, so there's a younger audience, and they could pick up our love for the original by having it more PG rated, G-rated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the different projects you've done, they show different strengths in your character when you're acting. And you can remember, that's right, you were very convincing to me.
thank you.
Welcome. I think it's super hard to do. I guess that I ever went blind, but that's got to be a stretch. I mean, for any actor. When you did it.
It's a blast. It's so fun to do, and it's so fun to. I black out a lot of the times when I'll work. I have no idea what I'm doing. And won't remember what I did until I see it later on screen. And I love watching it. I have no problem watching my own stuff and love laughing right along with everybody else.
There you go. Wow, that's great. Yeah. Because all our movies and we get attached. I don't know if you get attached to different. We're with Jackie Coogan. I love him. And you grew up with him. And you want to hold on to these people.
Exactly.
That's sweet. I'm really glad that people remember my grandfather. Definitely.
Oh, God, yes. My father was here. We watched a lot of it together with him. And the amazing, the talent. And he passed it down to you. Your genes.
That's awesome. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And, yeah, Keith, you have to come back because, Maggie and I insist on it. And please keep us informed on your new projects and whenever you're allowed to talk about any one of them, please come back and talk to us on it,
we'll
you know,
you
on the show, because we would love to help you promote it and everything, right, Maggie?
Yeah, absolutely, positively.
Yes, well, be sure to visit KeithCooganOnline.com. I'll post news of projects, but KeithCooganOnline.com. There's also links. You can look at some of the fun merchandise me and Pinky have put together. Fun stuff and aprons and dishes you can order, whether you're a fan of Adventures in Babysitting or Don't Tell Mom or Fox or Toy Soldiers. We've got stuff for everybody.
Oh.
And thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, and we...
I love Toy Soldiers.
Yes, we love Toy Soldiers, yeah. So, yeah, and we will... Yeah, please, you're welcome back anytime. And, yeah, and we cannot wait to hear what your next project is.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
For the calls, everybody, and the questions. And I appreciate it. And we'll see some of you April 1st at the Castro Theater in San Francisco for the 30th anniversary of Adventures in Babysitting screening and Q&A with me. And you guys have fun, and I appreciate being on the show.
I need that in Chicago.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get back
on. Keith, was this in Chicago a month or two, right, ago, Keith? Didn't you do something in Chicago, a couple of months back?
Yeah, the Rewind Convention in Chicago, and it was great fun. Lots of fans came out and had a lot of great guests, and hopefully we'll get out to New Jersey soon, and we're working on Tennessee, Knoxville. We'd love to get out. We're doing shows here in Southern California, too. But, you know, we love if you know of any conventions or anybody knows people that run conventions,
sure.
On Twitter at Keith Coogan, and get some information to me, and we'll come on out if we can arrange it.
And Dr.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, you need to come in Seattle. Seattle needs you, Keith. Yes. Yes, come to Seattle.
Yes.
Yeah, Seattle is really good, yeah. But yeah, thanks again for coming on, and we cannot wait for you to come back.
Well, thank you.
And have a great weekend.
You guys too, have a great weekend. And thanks again. Take care, guys. Dishes are done, man.
Perfect.
Wow. Perfect.
Have a great night, Keith.
All right. Good night, guys.
Wow.
That was okay. So, okay. Bobby, are you still there?
Bobby.
Yes, I am.
Bobby?
Yes,
David,
I am.
David, are you here?
Hello, David.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello, Maggie. It's Bobby.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, Maggie, can you do the conversation for one sec? Because I have to go to and we are focusing on first sitting someone.
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody watch GH today?
Well,
no.
I know I haven't got a chance to watch the shows because the last couple of days I've been monitoring CNN and thinking that they were going to break in, and unfortunately, lucky for you that they broke in during Jeopardy and not GH with the whole with the press conferences and stuff and with the situation in London. So I haven't watched any soaps since Wednesday, thinking that NBC and ABC was going to break in or have breaking news or updates from the situation with London or the healthcare thing.
Carly and Sonny were having an argument over Perk, the outdoor cafe for coffee. And right in the middle of the conversation, they broke in. So that's how the bill was done.
You know, when I looked at the daytime Emmy list after I got home on Wednesday, I was just happy to see Laura Wright and your girl from Chicago, Nancy, on the lead actress, because helped us decide
Hello,
who
everyone.
Gets that Emmy between Nancy or Laura. And I think
mm-hmm.
Laura got a better chance. I mean, I'm not saying anything against Heather or because she's a Chicago
mm-hmm.
native or to Tina or Jess, but I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
that Laura Wright has a good chance because I saw the emotion, and I even tweeted to you and I am you and Carly the day
mm-hmm.
after I saw the episode in which I saw emotion on Carly's face after Morgan's death. I think if she doesn't win the daytime Emmy for that, that's going to be just a shameful. That's going to be just bad.
Mm-hmm. That'd be total rad if she doesn't get it.
And
I
think Brian Craig can get one more Emmy just to go home as a winner. And I think I can also see Chad maybe picking up a second one. But that young actress between Lexi and Chloe, it's going to be hard because at one thing I want Chloe to win it, but at the same time I want Lexi to get a little payback after what happened to her in 2013. But at the same time I want at least Hunter King to at least win a daytime Emmy now and then win another one in September for supporting actress on Life in Pieces for a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of just torn with the young actress right there.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't seen much of Hunter King on Life in Pieces to begin with because I haven't had time to watch the show that much. Not because of the basketball tournaments and stuff like that, but
I don't like
because
Life in Pieces. I
haven't
like
had that much time to watch Hunter on Life in Pieces that much.
Okay, you guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, Bobby, no. If Laura does not get it, Maggie and I might be going to California. Right, Maggie?
You know what? I agree. And I hate to, and I agree. And the only time I would get into an argument or debate with Nancy on anything on Twitter would be with politics, judging from her political views. But I'm not going to have to just
deny
her and just go, Laura deserves that Emmy better than you do. Because I'm not.
Wait. Bobby, I love Nancy.
And she had a great storyline. Because I saw the whole Julian and Alexis.
Bobby, wait. I'm not finished. I love Nancy Legrand's political views. I agree with her.
Right.
On everything she has said for the last couple of months.
Right.
I 100,000% agree with her. And I was pissed off today because they do not have to break in just to say that the stupid health care thing did not pass.
Exactly.
Everyone knew it was never going to pass.
Right.
So don't break into a Friday episode if you know, that was so uncalled for.
Right.
Maggie missed it.
I'm sorry, Carly.
Bobby.
Hello? Okay.
Yes. But no, I mean, it's just a pain in the ass, to miss it. And I just want to let people know. You know what? Carson is going to have to go through a little of it to get on the other side. Why, Mom?
Well, they do because there's a lot of hurt on both sides, truthfully. And
yes, and so
heal.
It's
hard
and
for
I'm
her
pleading.
To come back.
Yes, and I'm pleading with everyone I am telling Carson fans, stop it. Do not freak out. Do not freak over every little thing. This is a hard thing to come back from, but they will be back. They've been in tighter positions before. Yes, Carly, I mean, I love Carly, everyone knows it, but Carly needs to wake up and realize that if it wasn't for her ex-husband, and now they would not even be where they are right now, And it wasn't for Ava and Olivia Jerome. None of this was going to happen. And no, I am not going to give Ava any my love, because what she did was wrong, you know, with the medicine. Morgan would never have been in that call that night if it wasn't for her. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And for Olivia, does not have a conscience.
A great actress.
I agree. But going back quickly to what you said about GH on your side, on the West Coast, in the San Francisco and Seattle markets getting interrupted, and the first 5 minutes in the LA market getting interrupted because of the breaking news, I know that Maggie, where you are, it interrupted Jeopardy. And where I was, it interrupted the last few minutes of Young and the Restless, because we're on at 4 o'clock. So I know how you feel.
Yeah,
okay.
We got it. When Carly and Sonny were arguing, they broke in. Paul Ryan did. When Carly and Sonny were busy. And
right.
For 5 more minutes, time around, it was so...
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be stopped. And you know what?
You don't do a dream job.
I am so sick of, you know, this administration.
Right.
She's breaking into all soaps. Okay, you know what?
Right.
I'm so done with it. Mm-hmm. It's only been 2 months and one day of breaking on all soaps is bad enough. But when you have 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, they start adding up. We are still behind. I did the math. We are still behind like 2 or 3 days for all the breaking news stuff.
Right.
So, yes, I get mad at that because, yeah, if it's a terror attack, obviously you have to break in. But if stupid vote that no one's going to care about, or if it's...
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't vote.
You know, to let the, you know,
right.
The rumor know that, you know, our president, that our president is having a bad hair day. No.
Well, we can make good jokes
about, you know, this,
we know that Alan Baldwin does a pretty good Trump on Saturday Night Live, and he had them down a Mads game as well. So that's what proved right. Unless you can get Alan Baldwin to appear on TV every day other than on Mads game, I think I'd be happy with him as Trump. Than the real Trump.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. He's funny. I'll say that. I crack up.
But in all seriousness, I know what you mean about preemptions and breaking news, because North Carolina just won their basketball game tonight, and if they win the national title, that's going to be another thing for the coverage of them coming back from Arizona and the victory party that might break into GH and Days and all those other shows. On that Tuesday after the Final Four, because they've done it when Duke won the title. They broke in, I think, in the middle of an interview that Carla Moseley had on the talk. They broke in to cover Duke's victory party and the return back from the airport to Duke to celebrate. So I know how you felt.
Yeah, let me tell you breaking news. Y'all are breaking in for you.
And I don't think... Maggie, you won't have to worry until at least May 27th when the Cubs play Pittsburgh that ABC 7 is going to cover that. I know they got a primetime game coming up against the Dodgers on April 8th, but I don't think that's going to matter that much right there because I know you want to watch Modern Family or any of the primetime shows, but not the Cubs at 8 o'clock at night, but that's okay. But
that's okay.
I just wanted to give you an update and programming note because I went on the schedule on there. So you don't have to worry about complaining that you have to stay up till 2, 3 in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning to watch General Hospital on your station or anything like that.
Thank you.
But
stupid deal.
mm-hmm.
One of the other factors is that I got the MLB Online package to watch the game, and I got MLB Network to watch every game except when they played the Nats or Orioles because of the regional blackout we got on the Nats and Orioles. So that's a little bit of a benefactor right there.
Hmm. I got my Nats and baseball's back, coming back.
And,
as long as you don't do it during GH.
So, and I mean, this has been a crazy week, but, okay.
I know. We lost both Chuck Berry and Chuck Barrett.
Wait a moment, Bobby. Who all knows that Carly is not a morning person? Who all knows this?
Me?
I know that, because there have been times you have called me at 12:30 in the afternoon or at 11:30 in the morning to remind me about a show or tell me if they broke in here on the East Coast a couple of times this week and the last few days to just tell me about what's going on with David or to just get ready for the show or to check to see if there's breaking news like what happened in London. So
well,
I know what you mean.
But the reason why I'm saying this is I have to wake up at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Well, maybe 6:45 a.m. We are driving down to Oregon in the morning, and it's a nice 3.5-hour drive. And I love it. I love Oregon. I grew up there. But 7 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be an interesting day for me. And,
you know, Carly, I feel your pain. I feel your pain, Carly. But next month, April 21st, I'll be leaving for Charlotte so I can get a chance to talk to some of the Day Stars and maybe talk to Billy and wish him good luck at the Daytime Emmys and talk to Eric about seeing if his character and Jennifer Landon's character can connect, even though I don't know how long Jennifer Landon's going to be on Days as Nicole's Canadian neighbor or not and stuff like that.
I said they know who she played Jennifer Landon on Days. They know who she played.
She's a police officer, and possibly she's on a 3-month leave of
absence.
It scares me.
Okay, you guys asked me if I packed yet.
Because I just gotten stuff ready for my Charlotte trip just this week.
Yeah, but you're not going for until what day?
June 21st. But I'm just actually wanting to prepare ahead of time because it's going to be a hectic week with Easter and getting ready during that whole week. So I'm just want to prepare myself at my month in advance.
Well, I'm leaving in the morning, and I am not packed at all. Because I have this thing that I leave everything to the last moment, which I know is probably the worst trait in me, besides that I'm always late. The only time I'm never late is when we are doing the show. Other times in my life, I'm always late. But, we will be back on Monday night.
What time?
I don't know yet. All I know is I got to hang out with family this weekend. Hang out with, my best friend. And then I get my pizza. My pizza.
From Pizza Hut, right?
No! Mm-mm. No. Oh. It's called Noma. I mean, yes. And when I lived in Oregon, oh, my God. Okay, they have pizza that is like a squirrel shape, and it fits perfectly in your hand.
Oh, like one of those hand pizzas that Little Caesars have. I know what you're talking about because I had those individual pan pizzas from Little Caesars before like that.
No. I'm not talking, Megan, you know what I'm talking about, eh?
kind of the way I make it, the rectangle pan.
Yes. And am I going to get one pizza? No, I'm getting two. Because did you know you can freeze pizza?
Of course.
Just to let everyone know, you can actually freeze pizza.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that you can also do bread and milk the same way, so it can be still good 3-4 weeks after its expiration date, so it won't get bad or anything like that. I've learned that, too, in the past.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, if you have, like, spaghetti in the fizz, you know, spaghetti can be up to, what, when did you say, how long? Maybe you tell me how long or something.
Is there a buzzing going on? What's that buzzing sound?
Something's buzzing.
I don't hear it.
You don't hear it?
I hear it over here.
You hear it, too?
Yeah.
Weird.
It's in every other word. It's buzzing.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go, number one, okay, everyone, what is everyone's favorite pizza topping? And I will start with David.
Pepperoni, always. Pepperoni.
Just pepperoni?
Yeah.
That's it? Pepperoni.
That's it. I got pepperoni.
Bobby, what about you?
You know what? Being that I'm more of a meat eater than a vegetable eater, I like any kind of meat on my pizza and extra cheese. That include pepperoni, like, so I'm like David, I'm like pepperoni, but I'm more of a meat eater type of person when it comes to a pizza.
Well, I know what Maggie did, but Maggie, what kind do you love?
Cheese with extra cheese. Because that's how we made a homemade pizza.
Yeah.
And mine is pepperoni, mushrooms, black olives, if it's from, you know, in Oregon. I love
mushrooms. Let's say I like it.
I love it, honey. More Maggie?
Mushrooms or pepperoni, too. But today's Friday, so I would love cheese. An extra cheese.
Well, yes. Wait. Today's... Okay. It happened again. You know what I'm talking about, Meg? Yeah. But no, I mean, like, okay, and we are going to have a busy week in a couple of weeks. April 4th week, we are busy. Next week. I don't think we have anyone on next week. So, which is kind of nice. And then, then...
And I just want to just give a heads up that on April 21st, I probably will not likely call in to talk to you guys or talk to the Diva Days on the next day because of my Charlotte trip. But I will definitely give you a report the following week of what went down.
How long are you going to be gone, Bobby?
Just for the weekend, just until that Sunday. So I'll make sure I'll give you a follow-up report that following Friday if you don't call me before then.
But my question is, are you staying in a hotel or what?
Yes, I'm staying in the hotel, the Sheraton. That's where the event is going to be actually is in uptown Charlotte. And I think trying to call into your show to talk a little bit so will be probably too much with the background noise of either me being at a party or somewhere outside during that night. So it might be hard to pick up.
So we are going and we are staying at the DoubleTree by the Hilton Hotel. We were staying at the Hilton.
Right.
But, you know, I know. What?
They got some good cookies at the Devil Tree.
So at this one, Mom, they have a ball.
Okay.
They have a ball. You know what's going to happen, don't you?
Mini bag?
No, I mean a ball in the hotel room.
Oh,
I'm in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
They
I'm
have
going.
Free Wi-Fi, swimming pool, free parking, high tide restaurant, handicap acceptable, fitness center, but the most important thing is a bar lounge.
Right. Well, my hotel in Charlotte has free Wi-Fi, so I can be able to catch up with you guys, or if I download the NBC or app, because our service won't get the ABC On Demand app, so I can watch General Hospital as soon as it's released or anything like that. But mine will get the NBC app, so as soon as Friday's dates pop up, I can watch it. Otherwise, I can watch it on my DVR that Monday and just watch that and Monday and that Monday's days and that Monday's GH and all in one sitting before I go to bed on Monday night. After I get back.
That sounds perfect.
Well, I mean, oh crap. But no, that's what I will be doing all weekend. What are you guys going to be doing?
Well, you brought up. I'm sorry. David, you can go first.
I'm going to see King Kong.
Ooh.
Where are you going, David?
To King Kong.
King Kong.
Skull Island.
Yeah. I heard that was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome.
Enjoy.
Yeah. I'm going actually tomorrow up the street to watch a couple of college basketball games. Not North Carolina because they already played tonight. They play Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to probably watch a couple of basketball games at this restaurant bar called Old Chicago. I don't know if they and they serve some good pizza there too. Since we were talking about that earlier. So I might just enjoy me a sandwich and a couple of sodas while I'm watching one of the games, maybe, and that's what I'll be doing tomorrow.
We had it over Chicago here.
Oh really? Yeah, because when I first heard it, I thought it's gonna probably have Chicago items, but all they have is the Chicago style pizza, not the Chicago style hot dogs or the Italian beef that Chicago is famous for. But they do have some great pizzas and great calzones. Sorry.
Minky, I love my calzone.
Yeah.
Tonight we get regatta.
The only thing I'm just a little bit disappointed about with Old Chicago is they don't have non-alcoholic beer at my place. Because I would have just gotten me a bottle or two just to enjoy. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if our room will be... our room, it says... I hope we have a refrigerator, though. In the room. There's a spa tub, indoor swimming pool with heated walls. I think there is a refrigerator. But no, I think it's going to be like, and there is an elevator, good. There's a spa tub. Ooh,
yeah,
I am looking
forward to this.
But yes, I will be back on Monday.
It would help if
you're back on Monday.
I know.
I hope you have a nice weekend, Carly, because you look like you're gonna have an exciting weekend. And by the way,
Bobby, yeah, it's gonna be a fun weekend.
Yeah.
But the reason why we are going down is my aunt, we called her my aunt, but she was my mom's cousin, passed away 2 months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear about
that. Was, oh,
I mean, I would say fun weekend, but it sounds like
well,
fun.
Well, but you know, yeah,
I understand how losing
but
a family
we are
member.
Not, well, it's not like a funeral. It's a celebration of life. So, you know, and then, so that is, you know, better. But, I mean, but, you know, I'm excited because I get to see my cousin, and also I get to see all my nieces and nephews, except my little brother and his wife can't go. So, you know, but, so I'm going to be with the kids, and, you know, because, Mom, when was the last time I saw the kids?
Thanksgiving or yeah, Thanksgiving they were in, weren't they?
Well, yeah.
Or was it Christmas by Stacey's?
Oh, yeah. Okay, guys, we're going to end it because Carly doesn't want to lose her voice.
I
understand, Carly, but I want to just leave you one more thing here. I will IM you on April 21st. I don't know if it'll be after you're done with your show or whatever, and just tell you if I bump into one of the day stars in the hotel room that night, because I promised that I would buy them a drink if I meet them.
Very good.
Okay, well, I am to go pack.
So I know that because the only person I probably won't be able to buy anything alcoholic would be Nalia Bordeaux, since she's expecting to have another baby. So
oh, cool. Well, okay, you guys, we got to get off because I have to go pack. And
right. Well,
Maggie, I will call you after I pack.
All right. Well, you
okay.
all have a
we'll
great weekend, and,
okay.
and see you next week.
Good night. Good night.
Okay, bye.
Good night.